And welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulk. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. Surf Lords kicking off a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio. We have on the line from Albuquerque, New Mexico, the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. And Mickey, this is a big day for you.
Well, it's a big day for baseball fans everywhere. I think we should have probably kicked it off with take me out to the ball game. But as per usual, the best team in baseball leads off the season. My Cardinals are on the air and less than an hour.
Right. They are opening up in Pittsburgh. My Blue Jays, meantime, are in Tampa Bay. Looking forward to this season, Mickey. I think it's going to be a good one for both our teams.
Well, you would think so.
All right. Well, for this edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, we decided to look at the big boy of the metals world, and that is iron, the fourth most abundant element in the Earth's crust. What'd you find out?
You stated exactly. It's the big boy of all commodities, metal commodities. I think the only thing that has more production would be limestone. It's the most common element on the Earth, fourth in the crust, mm-hmm. behind oxygen, nitrogen, and silicon. But basically because it forms the inner and outer cores of the Earth, and that's about 35% of the mass is iron nickel alloys. Quite common in the universe, formed by nuclear fusion with the collapse of supernovas. It's a transition metal with various oxidation states. It's generally plus 2 or plus 3 ferric and ferrous iron. It only occurs rarely on the Earth, but it's native in as the native element, but common in meteorites. And it's lustrous, gray, magnetic, of which we all know, less than 700 degrees C, very high melting point. Dense, fairly soft, 4 stable isotopes, mm-hmm. And 4 allotropes at various temperatures, which comes into its use in steel and iron and the metallurgy of that. And it is the 6th most common element in the universe.
Okay, when was it first discovered by mankind? How far back do we have to go?
Well, it's not really discovered. It goes back to when it was used.
Right.
First used in prehistory, dating back probably around greater than 5,000 BC. The problem is iron rusts readily, as we all know, and so artifacts are rarely preserved. The Iron Age started after the Bronze Age, but somewhere around 1200 BC is generally what's called the Iron Age. First tools and weapons that are still existent would be somewhere around 3500 BC. It was smelted in Mesopotamia somewhere 27 to 3000 BC. Evidence from India around 1500 BC. The Hittites used iron extensively, but it didn't really come to China till 600 BC. Of interest is that the Romans, during the Roman Empire, used about 85,000 tons per year, which is quite a lot.
And it is the world's most commonly used metal, isn't it? I think we ended the last program. You had mentioned that about 95% of all metal used is iron.
That's true. Somewhere on the order of mined iron, or somewhere about 3,200 million tons, or 3.2 billion tons. Mm-hmm. a year. And yes, 95% of all metal used on the planet. It really kicked off the Industrial Revolution in the late 1700s. A English guy named Henry Cort developed a refining process which allowed the Industrial Revolution to start. He did this in 1783, and it was a new method for converting cast iron, also known as pig iron, mm-hmm. into wrought iron, which is bar. So the Chinese actually had started making cast iron about 500 BC, and it was important during medieval ages. They used blast furnaces and in Europe, charcoal fire. The first bridge, iron bridge, was built in England in 1778. So, long history. Mm-hmm. Steel, which is a harder variation of pig or wrought iron, includes carbon. That dates from 1000 BC with the Persians, 300 BC in India, 500 AD in Syria. Each of these yearly points represent advances in smelting, which allowed steel to become harder and more usable.
And as is the case, Mickey, with so many of these metals that we talk about, China, I believe, is the biggest consumer, but it's also the biggest producer of iron. Is that correct? You had mentioned, I think, global production in total, about 3,200 million metric tons. China's at the top of that list.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. China is the world's largest user, importer, and producer of iron and steel.
Walk us through the process, Mickey. We've pulled iron out of the ground. Now we have to make it into a substance that we can use and that we can put to use in society. What is the process that has to go through?
Well, we're going to leave the mining and the beneficiation for the next show, because this is being the world's second most used product is quite a subject to tackle. So the questions about iron ore we'll deal with in the next show, but let's go from the iron ore products and what we use them for. There's basically three different categories. Cast iron, which contains quite a lot of carbon and is relatively brittle. Wrought iron, which is essentially pure iron. And then the biggie here is steel, and the steel industry is by far the most important part of this. So we have three iron ore products processed generally in two stages. Number one starts with a blast furnace, where you take iron ore plus carbon plus heat plus a flux plus air. So you take hematite, magnetite, iron ore. The carbon comes as coke. The temperature is 2,000 degrees C. The flux is limestone or dolomite, and you pump air through it. You bubble, essentially force air through it, which supplies oxygen. And this comes from something called the Bessemer process, which was developed in the 1850s and really was the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. This produces pig iron, but it's very impure with lots of impurities, silica, sulfur, magnesium, phosphorus, manganese, etc., and 4 to 5% carbon. That's used to cast in foundries. There's additional processing required to make wrought iron or steel. Steel is generally defined as around 2% carbon and various other alloys. So there's a whole bunch of different methods for converting these pig iron to either wrought or steel, forges, various furnaces, Bessemer converters, electric arc furnaces. But essentially what these do is they remove some of the carbon, and that's taken off as CO2, and also remove the impurities. And to make steel, then you add various alloy metals, and we've talked about all these metals. There's probably well over a dozen of them. And so then you end up with your various products. You know, the applications really are in structural engineering, maritime uses, shipping, et cetera, and machinery, and automobiles. So those are the main uses. There's lots of other specialty uses. Necessary component for cement. We've talked about that before.
Overall world production, is it rising? Has it been flat? What reading do you have there?
Well, that's what's the problem with the iron ore industry right now? You know, we had this great demand from China with growth of 6 to 7% a year, not only in China, but in demand for iron ore. And that whole scenario has collapsed over the last couple of years, and prices have cratered even more on a percentage basis than the oil business has.
Right, and that's basically leads into our next program. Mickey, we'll talk a little bit further about pricing. I think we're also going to be talking about how that pricing has been determined, because it's a little bit more transparent today than it used to be, I believe. We'll expand on that next
show.
That's
true, but it's still pretty opaque. One other thing I'd like to delve into in this show is the biology of iron. It's an important component, a necessary component for all life, and especially with animals who have blood, vertebrates, a key for oxygen transport and even cell respiration in all plants and animals.
We take iron pills once in a while too, don't we? Some people.
Well, some people do, probably more than they need to. The average human body will contain 3.5 to 4 grams, which isn't a lot of iron. And there are many sources of dietary iron, especially red meat, fish, chicken, legumes, leafy vegetables. So most people get sufficient supplies of iron, but you know, if you have low iron, you can develop anemia. That's especially prevalent in pregnant women. But the body's content and various organs' content of iron is very strongly regulated in mammals. I mentioned anemia in pregnant women, and that leads to a toxicity issue for children. Pregnant women would be taking iron supplements, basically ferric sulfate, and if kids get a hold of that, they can get poisoned and develop a toxicity that can kill them.
Okay. Well, I think the surf lords are warming up in the background again, Mickey, so let's wrap it up there. Next time out, part two of this huge topic. We'll talk pricing of iron ore, and we'll also talk, I believe, about overall global production and who the big players are and whether this is an area of the market that you want to put money into.
Exactly.
Okay. Great stuff. Look forward to it, Mickey. Good luck to your Cardinals, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right. 162 games to go, Rob. Long season.
A long season indeed. Thanks very much, Mickey.
All right. Thank you, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com, and you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.